Welcome to the SIS Off the Charts Football Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Rossler, and joined by me today are two of my close friends and colleagues. We have Jeremy Percy and Jordan Edwards with us. I actually started with these guys at SIS in 2018, so we've been watching football together for a while, although I don't really watch football with you guys anymore because I'm a wimp. I'm not in the trenches charting the games. But how are the trenches? You don't have to lie.
You know, it's difficult at times, but I mean, it's still fun. I mean, I don't even think we watch as much as we used to in 2018. It's hard. You know, it's a lot of college film, college games more than NFL, but we catch our NFL, you know, times and stuff like that too. But nothing at this job is like what working in Copley, Pennsylvania at 6 a.m, 4 days out of the week, and laughing hysterically at all the jokes that Bryce has and stuff like that. So it is a time to reminisce on. It was fun.
So speaking of jokes, we do have jokes. I told Jordan and Jeremy that we would be talking about the top offensive line prospects today. But what we're really here to talk about is Bryce Young, the quarterback for Jordan's favorite team. So let's get into that, Jordan.
Well, what do we want to talk about?
No, we don't want to talk about Bryce Young. We're talking about interesting things.
Yes, exactly.
So you guys have sort of helped spearhead a project we've undertaken. We are doing some pretty advanced offensive line scouting data for some of the prospects coming out, which is part of the reason I have you guys on today. So if you want to talk about what you guys have been doing to sort of preview what we're going to be talking about a little bit, that would be nice.
Yeah. So basically 2 years ago, we kind of started this with Nathan Cooper, who's kind of our lead scout, and Jeff Dean as well. We kind of had this idea of trying to get more involved into specifically charting the traits that are, you know, at one specific position rather than and be able to come up with analytics for those specific types of things, tie in specific traits to specific plays. And at the end of it, you know, collect all this data and be able to say, hey, this player X, he's really, you know, he has a lot of reactive athleticism traits that he collects over time. He's not really good with his anchor, things like that. His hand use is just good or it's not. And then also the types of things that they're being asked to do. Offensive line data is not, you know, it's kind of overlooked. I think when looking at like, you know, not even just college wise, but, you know, professionally, other than like blown block rates and stuff like that we chart here at SIS, you know, getting into, you know, why was it, you know, a blown block? You know, is it because they're not as athletic as maybe some other guys? Or maybe they're not as strong, things like that. And so kind of getting into that, seeing what people are good at, what they're not good at, what they've been asked to do, and being able to have the concrete numbers and data to specifically say that. And so we've been focusing on a lot of the higher end prospects. There's a few guys that we'll talk about today that we didn't get to, but both Jeremy and I have seen a lot of Joe Alt, JC Latham, Troy Fontenot, Marius Mims, you know, even though he hasn't played that much, and so things like that. So it's really interesting to see. I feel like as a scouting organization here at SIS, we have a pretty good feel off of what these guys are. And so, I mean, I'll let Jeremy talk for him specifically. But I mean, it's been really fun just to dive in specifically on a position that I personally love just every year being able to watch.
Yeah, right along with what Jordan said, this was super fun to do. Something that he didn't quite touch on that is my favorite aspect of this is that, like, when you are watching guys, a lot of times when you're scouting guys, you know, you're watching like 3 to 5 games. It's kind of hard to get a whole comprehensive look on them. Like, you might pick a really bad game of theirs. You might pick a really good game of theirs, and it might skew your grade. My favorite thing about the offensive line data project is that we have, you know, full on comprehensive data for every single snap that they play. So that's not something you can do when you scout. So I think that obviously film is going to be king, and, you know, watching these and breaking these guys down was super fun. But the end result, being able to fill in all the gaps that you won't be able to watch while you're actually scouting a guy, that's my favorite part of this whole project.
Yeah. So to piggyback off that point, you know, the guys we talked about today, I've watched like at most two, three games. And especially in college, you can watch a guy and there can be a lot of garbage to sift through, so to speak, in terms of like, this rep is not a translatable NFL rep. A good example might be you're watching a Big 12 tackle and you are watching a game against a team that bases out of tight front. And so basically every single passing down rep, you have a four eye that's looping to contain. And that's just not really, you see that in the NFL, but not on a super regular basis. Usually you're getting like five techs. So being able to sift through situational stuff like that is good, but also you can just watch a player and, like Jeremy said, you just, the sample of games you pick, you might not get to see him execute a particular block or be confronted with a particular situation. Like, you might not get to see him against speed to power very often. So being able to go back and dig through those plays is super value too. But you guys have seen all the plays, which is why I have you here to fill in my knowledge gaps. I'm going to pretend like I generally know some stuff and let you guys do most of the work, as I've been doing for the last however many years. So we also do actual traditional scouting reports on all these guys. We partner with 33rd Team. All of our reports are up on their website. So I guess as good a place to start is, who do we have as our number one tackle this year? And we can go from there.
Yeah. Our number one offensive tackle this year is Joe Walt. I actually was the one who wrote that report. He tipped it as 7-0.
Okay. So when Jeremy says 7-0, he's referring to the player grading system that we use. And it's more of a traditional scouting grade than other grades that might be out there. And when he says 7.0, he's referring to somebody who is a blue chip prospect, essentially.
Yeah, by year two, I expect this guy to be Pro Bowl level, all pro level throughout his entire career.
When I watch Joe Alt, there's a lot of different flavors in this offensive tackle class from what I've seen. Joe Alt is, I guess the best way I would describe him is smooth. Like, mm-hmm. The very smooth, very controlled in his pass sets, quick, choppy feet, whereas some of the other guys in this class win in different ways. But my impression of him was that he was, I don't want to say a finesse guy, but he's definitely more of that than like Fashanu, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But elaborate on his game, Jeremy.
Yeah, he's very, very quick on his feet. You had a good read there. I think it shows that he was a high school basketball player. When I watch him in his pass sets, especially since he doesn't really take that traditional kick slide, you know, he got real long legs, super long legs. You see him in his stance. So he has super long legs. So he doesn't need to kick slide in order to get that depth. And he's just so smooth and nimble when it comes to redirecting, stopping, starting, going laterally, especially his lateral redirection is really nice. And I also like how you said, like, it's almost like he's a finesse player because he is very quick, but he's not a finesse player. When he gets into the run game, he's not really looking to bury people and to like finish them into the ground, but he is capable of creating vertical movement just by himself. He doesn't need double teams to do that. And my favorite thing about him is specifically his second level ability. He is, once he gets into the open field, once he can get to the second level, his angles are so good. He's very, very quick. He's under control. And a guy that big gets his hands on a linebacker. Like, I think it was the Ohio State game. Like, he got his hands on Tommy Eichenberg, and it was just rep over.
Yeah, he looks very good on the hoof. I think a little acid test that I like to use for offensive tackles specifically is, if you see their teams pulling them a lot, that's probably a pretty good indication that they're a good athlete. Like, Penei Sewell does this a lot, and he's a freak, but they pulled him quite a bit. Looks very good on the hoof, very flexible, like opening up and pulling, adjusts his body really well, plays under good control in space. My one thing, and this is less of like a, I don't think he can do this, and more of a knowledge gap because I didn't see it a lot, but how do you feel he handles speed to power and bull rush? Like, how do you think his anchor is?
I think his initial anchor is good. That is an area that does raise question marks just because his hips are naturally so high. It is a little bit tougher for him to stop and re-anchor than it is for other guys. Because, like, you'll see a lot of times his initial anchor, he tries to get this, well, he does create this wild angle from his feet up through his hands to where, like, nobody else can create that angle because nobody else has that type of length. Like, it's like a 45 degree angle that he makes from always feet up through his hands. And so he gets that initial anchor in really, really quickly and nice, but it is a little bit tougher for him to re-anchor ability. That is one of the weaknesses that I did have for him, is once he starts losing that backwards momentum, it's tough for him to sink his hips just because his legs are so long. So like increased hip flexibility is something that I said that I would like to see a little bit more from him. That's more of like a build thing, honestly, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not.
Taller guys.
Yeah.
What is he listed at?
He came at the combine at 6.085, I believe.
Okay. So, it's
tall, tall. Yeah.
It's funny because did y'all see the video circulating of him repping on the bench versus Corum repping on the bench? All right. Yeah. So don't get me wrong. I am not knocking Blake Corum at all. It's extremely impressive to put up
strong,
27 reps on the bench. I certainly could not do it, but it's funny that they do this side by side and you see how far Corum's arms have to move the weight, and then Alt's getting the bar up there a little bit higher. So gotta give Alt a little bit more credit there.
Yeah. Alt's hand or his arm length came in at what, like 34 and a half inches, something like that. Whereas I'm trying to find Blake Corum, his arm length is 28, almost 29 inches. So nothing against Blake Corum. The dude is strong. Joe Walt's also really, really strong. This is more of a situation where it's not like, oh, it's not Joe Walt benches the same as a running back. It's wow, that running back is actually getting the same amount of reps as Joe Walt, more like to me.
Jordan, you have anything to add on Alt? Is there somebody you like more than Alt, or are you okay with Alt 1?
No, Alt for me is I firmly, I think OT1, I do think it, like I talked about it, where there's a bunch of different flavors. He might not work for every team, and that's fine. But I do think on the field, film-wise, just kind of how they're made, I think he's got a really, really high floor and everything like that. So, yeah, he's really good in the run game, the pass game stuff. Notre Dame's, I think, you know, style was weird, kind of like how Jeremy said, where he wasn't naturally kick sliding back in his pass sets, which he doesn't really necessarily need to do, but I'm interested to see how that translates into the next level and certain things I think that he's going to be asked to do. But because a lot of the time they were asking him like vertical set out of a 3-point stance, rather just see him, you know, get into the spot that he needs to be, that's more beneficial to him. But yeah, I mean, I think basically, you know, he was one of the guys that we watched in our line scouting detail. And I mean, he was pretty much one of the most consistent guys where the bad plays were very, very few and far between. Kind of has to do with some of their offensive style. But yeah, I mean, he was just so consistent, you know, every play, especially this past season.
All right. So let's keep going in the order of who we have in our scouting report rankings. Who do we have two?
Yeah, so two, we have J.C. Latham, right tackle for Alabama. He is somebody, there's not as much consensus, I feel like, you know, just outside of what even we have, but right tackle, he's a massive, massive player. So he was about 330-ish last year in 2022 for Alabama. They asked him to put on even more weight because they had a stylistic change with their offense. They wanted to be more downhill, run the ball a lot more, considering what they were going to have at quarterback and just the type of offense that they had coming into this season. So he actually ended up coming in at 360 on the Alabama website. And then at the combine, he drops back down to 342. So that's probably why he didn't test, is just the fluctuation of weight. That's going to be kind of the biggest thing, is what is playing weight going to be at in the next level. But still, the reason why we have him at OT2 is he is one of the guys, even maybe more so, that maybe Alt doesn't have, but he has an elite trait, and that is his play strength, especially his hand strength. We have it as an 8. It's a borderline 9. It's something that you don't really see that much. He came in with an 11-inch hand as well. So he's one of the guys that you can talk about when he gets his hands on you, it's done, especially in the pass game. His anchor is really good too. He can root the ground. He's not going to get moved off of that. Powerful run blocker too. He can torque people at the point of attack, create lanes. There was a really, really good rep against Chris Jenkins, who will be probably a day 2 pick this year against Michigan in the Rose Bowl, where he got inside, torqued him, sealed his body, and created a run lane for him there. So he's got all that kind of stuff. And I think the biggest weakness with him is, okay, so he's got, you know, that kind of weight concern. He's still a good athlete. He's really, really light on his feet, but it's some of the redirection, some body control stuff with the passing game that gives him a little bit more pause. I know some people might think that he might be a guard. For me, that would be really good. He might be a 7-0 level guard with the type of play style that he has. But just as a tackle in general, going back to his 2022 film, his pass sets were really, really good. it was still good in 2023. But yeah, that redirection stuff is kind of his biggest pickup going into the league.
Yeah. I always like to talk about what's going to beat guys at the next level. And that was definitely when I watch him inside counter stuff is probably the way. But yeah, the amount of times, like in the Georgia game, we talked about the tight front stuff earlier and how that's not necessarily projectable, but you got to find things within those situations where you're trying to get as much as you can out of the rep you're watching. And those are big guys at Georgia, like big yeah. guys. And he would just put hands on them and it looked like child's play.
Yeah.
Like not moving at all. And
yeah.
A&M game, it's the same way. Like, I do want to ask you guys, I want to deviate from the player specifically and sort of talk about archetypes that we've been alluding to. Because as you guys know, I'm a bit dancing bear pilled. I was a big Andre Dillard believer, and that didn't work out so great. But do you guys personally have a preference for like these archetypes among tackles in general, or do you not really care? And if you do care, why?
I don't think I necessarily do. Like, I think maybe some, you know, looking at like previous drafts, guys like 2 years ago, there was a big kind of variance between like the differences of style between like Cross, Evan Neal, and Ikem Ekwonu. And like those were very different, where Evan Neal, I think people are looking at now, okay, there's another massive offensive tackle from Alabama, and Evan Neal has struggled at the next level, you know, and he's probably should be a guard or something like that. Where I don't think that's necessarily true case to case between every year. I think it matters about, you know, what their kind of play style is. I don't necessarily know if there's thresholds that need to be set. Every team kind of has them, to where, you know, a guy like Deion Dawkins for the Buffalo Bills, he may look like a guard, but he's got the athleticism to play tackle. Some other guys are their massive tackles, where some guys are, you know, just massive guards and they stick on the inside. So I think it's really just about, once a team gets in, he gets that specific player, what the coach really views in them. And we kind of talked about this, where like with, you know, J.C. Latham, if he is going to be a tackle, okay, he's probably going to have to lose a little bit more weight, get that athleticism back more on his terms. But if he were to play, you know, at that higher body level, is he going to be more of a guard based off of, you know, not letting him be on an island? So I don't really necessarily have a preference. It's just, okay, what's your skill set? And if the skill set speaks to a specific position, then I think it's good. But if it can translate over multiple spots, I mean, I think that's even more valuable.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat as Jordan, as where it's a kind of a case-by-case thing for me. Obviously, prefer to have all the physical tools, like all the benchmarks, and like the 34-inch arms. Talking about right tackles, like a lot of people would prefer to have like the 330-plus road grading maulers, guys like that. But I also think I love what Jordan said about how taking their play style into account and what they're being asked to do. And something I would want to add on to that is like their skill set. So like, a big talking point with last year's draft was Peter Skoronski. Like, is he a left tackle or is he a left guard? Like, I was thinking, like, I think this guy's going to be an awesome guard. I think he can play tackle. And I think he'll be a good tackle, too. And he had, you know, shorter arms, and that was a big talking point with him. Whereas, like, Peter Skoronski is such a good player. And, like, no matter what, you knew he was going to be good, whether he's playing left tackle, whether he's playing guard. To whereas, like, if you're taking, like, if you're looking for more of a developmental guy, you're not going to be willing to take those risks on, like, shorter arm length. Like, for example, being a Colts fan, I'm going to be a little homer and use, like, the Bernard Raimann example. Like, if Bernard Raimann wasn't super long, super athletic, he's a tight end convert late in his football career. And so, like, if he wasn't already, like, super long, super athletic, like, if you're going to try to, like, have a project-type guy, you want to be more leaning on those type of benchmarks. And that is also the process for a lot of teams, like the Colts. They want those benchmarks for a reason. So we're, like, yeah, so like it's kind of a case-by-case thing. Where's that player at in their, like, in their development? What are they going to be asked to do? What's their play style? Prefer the longer arms, the big hands, the quick feet, whatnot. But, well, quick feet is not negotiable, but like the good passing numbers. If they get the job done at the end of the day, they get the job done.
All right, boys. So I tried to ask a leading question to get some fun answers out of you guys, and it didn't work. So now we're going to be a little bit more melodramatic about this. So gun to your head, what tackle archetype do you feel more comfortable projecting to the NFL as a pass protector? The bigger, stronger guys who win with hand usage and anchor, or the guys who don't necessarily have the best anchor, but are very light on their feet, very good at mirroring. Because you can lose, because both, we're not talking about like a can't miss guy. Like, we're not talking about a Trent Williams where they're just an all around freak. Mm-hmm. You can theoretically be like a Joe Alt with power. You can theoretically outmaneuver the bigger guys. So, gun to your head, have to have an answer. This is a podcast. What do you feel more comfortable projecting?
Yeah, gun to my head. As a path projector, I want the dancing bears, like you were talking about, the quick guys who will win with their positioning, their initial get off, preferred good hands there. You mentioned good hands, strong hands with the bigger guy archetype, but crafty handwork to replace and good things like that. Yeah, I prefer the gun to my head, the more agile guy.
Yeah, probably the more agile guy. And maybe as you gain more experience in the league, some of that kind of core and strength and anchor ability gets better, just because now it's your profession and it's something you can work on. Whereas athleticism is something that's not really, it's not necessarily something that is gained upon. Like, it's you kind of have it or you don't. And sometimes just people lose it at some point. It's not like at the, a year end, it's like, wow, this guy just became so much more athletic. So I would probably take the trait that is not coachable. And so athleticism, I think, is.
I mean, JC Latham, you said he had what, 11 inch hands? Mm-hmm. That's not coachable.
That's what I'm saying. Like, taking the things that aren't like the measurables that aren't coachable, things like that. Like, you obviously want those types of things. But I think playing with more play strength and is something that can be worked upon as you go throughout your career.
All right. Yeah, I think I like talking about metas. Like, the defensive end meta right now in the NFL is to just draft guys that run 4.4s. So, and that's sort of, we're starting to see more of those guys over the last 2-3 years. So I don't know if I'm like more dancing bear pilled, or if I was just like over calibrated to begin with, and time has corrected for me, never wrong, just early. But interesting to think about. Okay, so we've still got guys to roll through. I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that we have Fashanu 3.
Yeah, we have Fashanu 3. He was written up by Ben Herkach, another Penn State grad. I'll say that and preface it with that. But he's another scout here. Basically, with Fashanu, I think, is more presumed like the OT2 in the class. He kind of has been. He's probably OT1 coming into the year.
I was surprised by how much I liked like Latham relative to Alt and Fashanu, but yeah, I think those three are actually fairly close.
Yeah, and so I think with Fashanu, he has some of that athleticism that is very unique for his body type. He has really, really long legs. Like, he's very high cut, and the athleticism for that specific body type is, for me, like, was one of the biggest things I saw last year watching him a lot. It was like, this is kind of borderline rare. And so, but I mean, he's massive tackle. He's light on his feet. He's somebody that I honestly think you could leave him on an island and be comfortable with it. I thought he was like that, especially early on in 2022. I thought he was like that. I think there was some issues this year, kind of playing against speed to power, bull rush, those types of things.
I think his issue there is, I don't think it's a strength thing. I think it's a pass set thing. Most of the stuff I took issue with, like technical stuff, like he'd get beat to the inside a lot, not because he can't redirect, but because like he oversets. I think the speed to power stuff, like he would sort of bail out of his slide a little early, and he ends up not being square. But when he plays square, very, very strong. I don't think he's like Latham in terms of the hand use, but like very good hand use, very technical in that regard. Really clean refitting of his hands. That little flash technique he does where he shows the inside hand, and then, I mean, it can just be rep over, but like the hand use, the body control, especially for, like you said, Jordan, how high cut he is. Like, generally you see guys like that playing a little top heavy, and he's not, which is very impressive. And the anchor is really good. I just, he's another young guy. He's like, what, gonna be 21 as a rookie?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing last year. He would have been even young for even being like only a third year player, I think. And so even still now, a year later, he's still relatively young. I think there's really, really high ceiling with them. I think there's a lot more that can be reached there. I think the biggest thing where we didn't have them at that top level was going from, I think Ben had even mentioned this just in passing, where last year he was so good and really consistent. This year, there wasn't the next step taken in his game. And so I think that's why we have him more as that OT3, where there's still more to be gained from him, but it is going to take a little bit more. I think the specific coach can get him, they'll fall in love with him, and he'll reach his ceiling soon.
Yeah, I don't think it's any question of physical ability with him. I think you just clean up the footwork. He also sees the game really well, which is nice for a player as young as he is. But I think just you clean up the pass sets a little bit, and that's just like repetition, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, he doesn't have the ability to do it. He's not quick enough thing. I could easily see him being the best out of this class.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me anything's top three are going to be the best, and even, you know, there's a couple others we talk about, there's just so many freaks in this class. I agree with you. Olu definitely could end up being the best. And really, I don't have much to add on him. Everything you guys said, you pretty much checked all the boxes.
Who do we have four? Now's where it gets fun guessing. I'm going to guess we have Fuaga.
We do.
Okay, let's talk about finishing as a trait. My opinion is that finishing is the most overrated offensive line trait there is. And I think that because, one, you in the NFL, watch a game and tell me how many reps there are of a guy getting put on his back where he's not tripped or caught up on a teammate or something. And it's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
And the other thing is, I think it's something that's very easy to see. First of all, these guys are hard to miss. They're mammoth human beings. Like when I was in Indy for the combine and I was waiting at baggage claim, it always startles me when you see one of the combine invites rolling in. Like these are all very big people. Like even the 6'2", 210-pound wide receivers are big people. But like the offensive linemen will jump scare you. And so when you see one of those put another big person on their back, it's easy to see. And like, it's very easy to count that as a good rep, but I don't want to say that it doesn't matter, because I know offensive line coaches, like they want their offensive linemen to be aggressive, but I don't know. I think it's overstated, but you guys are welcome to tell me I'm an idiot.
I agree with you in some aspects. It's definitely the easiest to see, and it's the easiest to get excited about. It's really exciting. Like, I mean, who doesn't love watching a massive human being just pile drive another massive human being into the ground? And I think that, I don't know if overrated is a word I'd use for it, but for me, it's more of a bonus. Like, it's not, like, if you do your job every time and you're, even if you're not creating a ton of movement, if you're just sealing guys off, keeping them from making a play, you're not losing your reps. A lot of times, offensive linemen, that is enough. It's a lot better to see guys physically dominate people. And it's, you know, obviously fun to watch people get pancakes. So, like, if you're doing everything right and you're winning your reps, whether you put the guy in the ground or not, I don't really care that much. However, I do think there is something to say for the fact that it raises energy. Like if you're an offensive lineman, I only played in high school. Like if you're an offensive lineman, you see one of your guys, you know, put somebody on the other team into the ground, everybody is super excited. Everybody sees it. Everybody wants to rally around it. So I think it does have something to say with like contribute to like energy during the game. But yeah, really it's just a bonus trait for me. If you got somebody who can put people on the ground, that's great. If not, they're just winning their rep every single time. Like Joe Wall, I was talking about earlier. Joe Wall does not consistently look to put guys into the ground to me. He can create movement. He can be physically dominating sometimes, but like he doesn't really like have that nasty streak. Just like, you know, want to grind people into the dirt. And that's fine because he does everything right and wins all of his reps. Yeah, that's my take on finishing.
Yeah, man, I think even finishing to an extent, like you don't necessarily have to finish somebody into the ground for it to be considered finish. And I think that's what Jeremy was saying, was like, finishing your rep specifically, I think, is the thing. So finding the difference between are they finishing their specific rep and assignment, or are they taking it to the next level where they're tossing guys in the ground, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm assuming that's what you're kind of going with Wad, right? Is that's kind of his play style?
Yeah. So the things I like about Fuaga, he looks very good moving around to the second level. Watching him run straight at a will on the backside of outside zone is good stuff. Very strong. I do think he's getting a bit of a bump because he is a quote unquote finisher. My issues were like, I think he's more of a north-south athlete than an east-west athlete. I think you see that in pass protection, specifically when it's like wide nines. He just, I think he will have some issues getting to his landmark against speed. And the hand use to me is, it's definitely not up there with like Oshanu and Latham. There's a bit of molliness to me. And I think that's also part of the, that's part of the issue I have with like the finishing conceptually, is that a lot of times I think people will overlook some bad hand placement if it results in a guy being thrown to the ground. But like in the NFL, that stuff turns into whole things.
Yeah, I think I know one of the reps you're talking about when you get into the second level against like the on the backside. I think it was there. I just watched one against UCLA.
Yep, it was
it's like early on in the game, and like he flies out of his stance and gets there. It's like, wow, okay, that's really impressive. And so I think one of the things, even seeing from the combine this week, not having much exposure to him in general, was he is very under control, I think, in both the run and the passing. Like that's why I noticed in the past that like his feet are under control. He's not trying to overset a lot. I think he'll have trouble getting to it, like you said, but I think being under control is kind of like half the battle, and having that strength that he has to his game is going to be good. I know some people think that he might be a guard. I'm fine playing these guys at wherever they're, you know, wherever they have a lot of experience at, and I think he can be a tackle, he can be a guard, he can be whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, I think I was much more impressed, like even seeing him in the workouts, just how under control he was. I thought his feet were good. But yeah, I think getting to that specific, those, you know, areas of the field in the passing game are going to be his biggest concern going up.
Yeah. How do you think the redirect is?
Yeah, I think it's probably, from what I saw, because I watched him against Latu as well, and he did pretty well against Latu, against that UCLA game. And then Latu ended up moving away towards the end of the game. And so I thought he did better than even like a guy like Latham. It's comparing, you know, massive right tackles who are powerful and strong. I think it's probably better in that aspect than maybe what Latham has.
You think his change of direction is better than Latham?
From what I saw just in a little bit, it does seem like there is a little bit more, because he can play a little bit more under control. And so I don't think what we're talking about with, you know, getting to a specific spot in his vertical sets, he's not going to overset the majority of the time, because he is so much under control. He's going to get to that spot a little bit, you know, cleaner than maybe somebody like Latham. And so I think it's similar. I don't think it's, you know, it's definitely better than one or the other.
See, I'm
curious what you say, because I mean, I have not seen Fuaga as much as I've seen. We've seen Latham as a part of our line scouting thing. We've seen pretty much every snap that is over the last 2 years. And so that's what it is for me. So I just haven't maybe had enough of Fuaga.
Yeah. My thing is just the change of direction and the lateral quickness, but I'm also like lower than consensus on this player. So maybe I'm the idiot. So who do we have as five?
Our fifth offensive tackle is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
So Jeff Dean ended up writing his report. He was somebody that he really liked. I think there's a lot of potential here with Guyton that he'll need to reach. He's another guy who I think, just talking with Jeff, was somebody that his weight kind of fluctuated this year to where he was bigger, and I think he's lost weight throughout the process. And so that's really helped him out, especially at the Senior Bowl. It was much different than what he had on film. But he's a good athlete. You can leave him on the island, pass protection. I think his body type is going to be the biggest thing, where he's so tall, he's kind of lean. So how does that kind of play strength go into at the next level? Does he have the core strength to be able to kind of survive like that, you know, speed to power, bull rush, all those kinds of things? And so Oklahoma is also, I mean, you can attest to this. It's a very different offense than I think what you'll be going at the next level. Obviously, a lot of RPOs, you know, quick games, stuff like that. And so I watched Harrison last year, and that was my biggest thing. Okay, it was like, what is it going to be like at the next year? I liked Harrison as a prospect a lot. And so I think that's going to be the interesting thing, is when he goes to the next level, what are his pass sets going to be like, all those kinds of things.
He's like a fringe first round guy, right?
Yeah, he's going to be, just because of the potential that he has. Another size and athletic profile that's very hard to find. Similar to like Joel, he's 6'8 as well. He's in the, you know, 320s and stuff like that. So yeah, he's going to be somebody that's got a lot of potential that, you know, as long as some of that, you know, kind of like, how is he going to be gaining more strength at the next level? is going to be the biggest thing for him.
I am a little surprised we have him over Mims, because when I is Mims six?
Mims is six. Yeah, he's our next guy. The differentiator between Mims and Guyton. Guyton came in at 6'7". Mims came in at 6'6". I actually wrote the Mims scouting report. The reason I gave him a 6'6" is because I can't see a world where he could possibly bump over the other side. Amarius Mims is a very right tackle only. I wasn't super impressed with his redirect. I thought he was kind of heavy-footed. I know he ran a real good time at the 40, and once he gets it going, it's moving. And it's not a bad thing that he plays with his heels in the ground a lot, but like, I thought he was pretty heavy-footed. I didn't really like his rack of athleticism, so because of that, I kept him at a 6'6", where it's like, it's a right tackle only. I think he's going to be a very good right tackle, but I wasn't ready to put him in that 7-0 range. And then I think that like this guy has one position and it's right tackle.
I don't know. Like the size and the strength are, I know there's some injury stuff there, but the size and the strength are really, really impressive with him.
Yeah, he is massive. And I think what his arms came in at 36.25, I want to say.
Yeah.
36.25 arms, 36.25, 11.25 inch hands, which is just wild.
See, this is
a real 340.
Yeah, this is where I get into sort of exceptions to the rule with like the I agree with you, like the redirect is not great, but he's big even for an offensive tackle. He has like these long tentacle arms and he puts hands on people and it gets ugly for them. Like that's what I'm kind of like, okay, we don't necessarily need as much foot speed, because like imagine him just like yanking Brian Burns around.
Yeah, he's got
Brian Burns might blow by him a time, but
mm-hmm. I think Brian Burns would beat him inside quite a few times too. The thing with Mims and his hands are like that. Like he has the power. His hands are just like crumbling power of his hands. He puts them on you. It's like sometimes defenders' bodies just shut down because like he just has that stopping power. But his feet, I didn't like his first step off the line of scrimmage. There was a few times where defenders would cut inside of him. Ball State had a small undersized edge beat him and cross his face off the snap a couple times. But one thing that he does do to offset it is kind of like what you guys were touching on with Fuega, where he knows either him or his coach, whoever, has him taking these really patient pass sets because he may know that he's not the best at posting and redirecting. That was one of the listed weaknesses I had for him. But he's super patient, super under control, and is very careful not to overstep. Where like he's going to let you like get a step around the outside because his arms are so long.
He'll just grab you.
Exactly. He'll just give you his outside hand and push you around the edge like that. Where like once you get into like the real good nuanced pass rush, like you mentioned Brian Burns, like Brian Burns very possibly could beat him around the outside. I think it's super possible to beat him on the inside. It's also going to be a lot of reps where Mims gets his hands on him and reps over.
I like Mims more than Fuaga, and it's because of that. Player has a deficiency in one area, but he's special in another regard where you can project how he compensates for the deficiency a lot easier than I think you could with like Fuaga specifically.
Strong man.
He's a big man.
If Mims had five games that were like his Ohio State film from two seasons ago, I mean, he'd be top five. He might be able to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's that game alone is like one of the best, I think, games for a single offensive line prospect in this cycle. So just it was few and far between, you know, injuries. There were other things that were involved there, but like just it seemed like there was a level of consistency that wasn't there. But I mean, it wouldn't shock me if one team in like the draft, like, you know, like he seems like a Raiders guy. Like he's like Oakland just like wants that specific type of play style and they'd take him in the top of the team.
They were Trent Brown.
Yeah. So there are teams that like that type of player. So, I mean, that might like him more than Fuaga. More, they're a little bit bigger. They don't like
it. It is a new prospect. Vegas.
Yeah. Though. It's fair. That's true.
But point remains that there have been teams that gravitate towards that archetype. Okay, so we probably have a couple more guys to run through real quick. Do we have the Washington guy next?
Yeah, so Troy Fitano, I wrote his report up. He is somebody that, I mean, he's probably one of my favorite players in this draft just because his play style, just when you see him on the field, it's like there's not many people that look like him. He's wearing like the crop top jersey. His pants are rolled up above his knees. He just looks like a wrestler.
Million of offensive tackles. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And so like he, you know, they don't wear knee braces out there either. So like they're just like athletes playing out there. And so he looks more like a guard. I wrote him up as a guard. However, I would love to see him get the chance to play tackle. I think he could play tackle in a lot of offenses in the NFL. Even me, like he's a really good athlete. He's got quick feet. He's kind of explosive. He plays with the mentality that you want. I know just kind of dog finishing, but like that's him as well. There's a lot of guys that are like that, that play aggressive and stuff like that. So
why predicting the guard if you think he's good enough athlete to be a tackle?
I think playing in a more condensed area actually might help him. Washington's offensive scheme this year was really interesting. Like they kind of like
they're on like 5-man protections with
and their tackles, they would wide set a lot. They would jump set. They would vary up everything. And so I think there was a little bit kind of over aggressiveness in that area to where he would quickly try to get on somebody and they would get past him and he'd have to try and recover. Seeing him more at the combine, he was much more in control than I think that he kind of plays with in that setting. There were a lot of things like, you know, run game stuff, like he can pin down, let guys pull around him. He's quick to the second level, all those types of things. And so I think I like the footwork and like the quickness that he played with, but I thought playing him in a tighter area might be a little bit more beneficial to him. But like I said, I mean, I think this guy could play up and down the line. Me and Jeremy have had conversations where he hasn't played center. I think he'd be good at center. Like I the way that he plays, it seems like that might be something that he'd be good at. I'd love to see it. And so I think this is a guy that can play up and down the line. I just want him on my team and figure out what to do with him next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat with Jordan as Fontenot. I think he can be a tackle. I love the idea of him playing inside. Something that Jordan didn't touch on quite as much that I love with Fontenot is his hands. The guy's hands are so good. He flashes them. He especially has really something that we saw a ton in our offensive line scouting. He has a really, really good snatch move. And it's almost like, and he spams it a lot. Like it's almost
he did it like 3 or 4 times straight in a game this year.
Yeah.
It was like, awesome. Yeah.
Anytime you show him a long arm, he's going to try to use your own momentum against you, put your face into the ground. But the big thing with him playing center, I really like his pad level. I really liked his hand speed, especially. So I think, and he's got just got the demeanor of an interior offensive lineman. The guy's mean. He's nasty. He tries to like actually finish dudes into the ground. Also gets his hips rolled in the run game once a lot, but no, it's exciting, Bryce. But yeah, I think he can play tackle. I like it. I love the idea of him playing guard or center, but I think, yeah, you really can't miss with him. Like wherever you're going to play him, if he's bad, it's probably not going to be his fault.
Oh, that's a proclamation.
To make him
All right.
It is.
Last, real quick. I don't know if he's next, but we're making him next. And anyway, we're talking about Kingsley Suamataya. Bring me Kingsley Suamataya. I would love him on the Lions. Panay Sewell's cousin. This is not like a Gronkowski brothers situation. He moves extremely well, is very large, 21 years old, played at BYU, didn't play as a freshman at Oregon before transferring to BYU. I will be the brave genius offensive line coach, takes Kingsley Suamataya and gives him practice reps and lets him figure it out and then takes credit for his career. Because I mean, I know that Matt wrote him up and we have like a 6'4 on him, which is basically
6'6. Yeah. He's right on there with Mims. He was our next tackle up anyway, so we weren't skipping anybody.
Well, that's not as fun or dramatic, but whatever. But yeah, I think it's just an issue of needing game reps, especially at BYU. Like they played some decent teams this year for sure, but just like actually letting the bullets fly and like figuring out what kind of angles you need to take and how to sort of win the hand battle. I think all the physical traits are there. I don't think this is an issue with play demeanor or anything like that. He's a little rougher on the edges for sure, but yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I definitely see all the good things you see with him. I mean, there are some bad things. You mentioned being a rougher on the edges. There was one game, I think it might have been a field condition thing. His feet were so sloppy. It was rainy. I think they were on a grass field. He was slipping everywhere. That game is rough. But just apart from that, I think he gets a little too top heavy at times. His body control goes awry.
I'll disagree with you. I don't think that's an athleticism thing. I think that's him being like a bit reachy with his hands sometimes.
Yeah.
And lungy. Yeah, lungy. Like,
He's trying to kill the guys.
You go to grab somebody like you're a Scooby-Doo villain, and you get out over your knees, and it looks ugly sometimes. But I think I think that's like a game reps thing, man. Like I'm willing to die on this hill. Like it doesn't take a brain genius to see a guy as big as him, like him, mm-hmm. to be like probably worth a flyer. But I feel pretty confident that you give him time and he irons it out. Jordan, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what this guy is. Just like what you said, like he's somebody that's got all the athletic upside, natural power, strength, all that kind of stuff. I think it's just all the technical things that need worked out. So that's obviously it's a big risk to take. But I mean, I think with the lack of talent, maybe that's in the league at the offensive tackle position, the offensive line position in general. This guy, I mean, he's about just as athletic as most guys that, come out of college. So I would be willing to take the risk as well as you.
Round one risk or round two risk?
What's the difference at that point? Like, are we talking like pick 25 to 40? Because, I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, I'd be willing to take it just to take the extra year of control that I would have. But like, I mean, yeah, I think premium position, yeah, I would gamble a late first arm, I think. So yeah, I think there's going to be a massive run on tackle. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if somebody takes him in the first round. Like, look at the end, the first, like San Francisco, I think that'd be a good fit. Don't necessarily know if he fits what Kansas City wants. I don't know. And I don't know if I would be willing to take that risk if I was Kansas City with knowing who I have a quarterback, but want to protect them that way. I don't know if I have.
They're already taking risks with their tackles.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's another calculator risk that they take. I think somebody it would be willing to take him in the virtual for sure.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for my friends, Jordan Edwards, Jeremy Percy, our executive producer, Justin Stein. I'm Bryce Rossler. Thank you for listening to the SNS Off the Charts Football Podcast.